Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 21 to 24, but I'd like to read from verse 1 onwards. Genesis chapter 5, verse 1 onwards. This is the book of the generations of Adam. When God created man, he made man in the likeness of God. Male and female, he created them, and he blessed them and named them man when they were created. When Adam had lived 130 years, he fathered a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. The days of Adam after he fathered Seth were 800 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. When Seth had lived 105 years, he fathered Enosh. Seth lived after he fathered Enosh 807 years and had other sons and daughters. And thus all the days of Seth were 912 years and he died. When Enosh had lived 90 years, he fathered Canaan. Enosh lived after he fathered Canaan 815 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Enosh were 905 years and he died. When Canaan had lived 70 years, he fathered Mahalalel. Canaan lived after he fathered Mahalalel 840 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Canaan were 910 years and he died. When Mahalalel had lived 65 years, he fathered Jared. Mahalalel lived after he fathered Jared 830 years and had other sons and daughters, and thus all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years and he died. When Jared had lived 162 years, he fathered Enoch. Jared lived after he fathered Enoch 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Jared were 962 years and he died. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Let us pray. God, we ask you for the help of your Spirit, that you will open our eyes to see the truth from your word, and let your truth set us free. Let your truth build our lives, and let your truth, O God, help us to walk in ways that will truly honor you. And so we want to commit ourselves to you, our time to you. Give us ears that will hear and hearts that will be receptive and minds that will understand and wills that will be submissive to you. So we ask you that you help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, Genesis chapter 5 is one of those chapters that people usually skip reading, because you look at this chapter and you wonder what is there in this chapter except for the genealogy of Adam. All we see in this chapter is a bunch of names, who they fathered, how many years they lived. But hidden in the midst of these details is a gem. And that is the life of a man named Enoch. The average, once I just sat down and, you know, I calculated, added up all the ages of people here. The average age of people in this chapter is 912 years, but this man, Enoch, only lived 365 years. That is just one third of the rest. In other words, he lived the shortest compared to the rest of them. But in spite of living the shortest, you see that four verses of commentary is recorded or for us in this chapter about him. In these four chapters, two times something about Enoch is mentioned, and that is this, that he walked with God. He walked with God. I'd like to read verses 21 to 24 once again. If you're at verse 21, here is what it says about Enoch. Enoch had lived 65 years. He fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, when everyone around Enoch merely lived and died, my dear friends, Enoch lived his life differently. He walked with God. The only achievement that others in this chapter had was that they lived a very long life. But one of the preliminary lessons that we learn from Enoch's life is that it does not matter how long you live your life, but how you live your life. It does not really matter how long. We all desire to live a long life, but it truly does not matter how long you live your life, but how you live your life. And what characterized Enoch's life was that he walked with God. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. What does it mean to walk with God? And I'd like to present to you three aspects of what it means to walk with God. Number one, to walk with God, we must be in a relationship with Him. Walking with God presupposes a relationship with Him. For example, you cannot simply go onto the street, find a random person on the street, and start walking with them. Have you tried that? Don't even think about it, because they'll think you are weird, you're crazy. Some people might even call the cops on you. Don't do that. Nobody does that. In order to walk with someone, you need to know that person at some level. Similarly, you cannot walk with a God you personally do not know. You cannot walk with a God you do not have a personal relationship with. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8, a couple of chapters before this, we are told that the Lord God was walking in the Garden of Eden, a picture of his relationship with Adam and Eve. They enjoyed a perfect relationship, this unbroken fellowship with God, but that relationship was broken because of their sin. And in that, towards the end of that verse, we see that they were hiding from God because their sin broke their relationship with God. It separated them from the presence of God. And what's interesting is that the relationship that was broken between man and God in chapter 3 in the garden, we see restored in Enoch's life. And you're sitting here and you're wondering, how is that possible? How did Enoch have a relationship with God that he was walking with God? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 and 6 gives us the answer to that. It says, by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and he rewards those who seek him. Enoch had a relationship with God because he pleased God, not because of what he has done, but because he had faith in God. He was made right with God by faith, just as few chapters later in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6, it is said of Abraham that he believed the Lord and God counted to him as righteousness. The only way a sinner can be made right with God is through faith alone. The Old Testament saints look forward to the promise, the fulfillment of that promise, and they were justified before God through faith. And we look back at this finished work of Jesus on the cross, and we, by faith, receive it. And through that, we are justified or made right before God. So how does one walk with God, my dear friends? Only by having a relationship with him. But how does a sinner have a relationship with a holy God without being consumed by his holy wrath? It's not by our works of righteousness. It's not by our good works. It's not because you were born into a Christian family. It's not because you grew up going to Sunday school. It's not because of what you have done. It's not because of who you are. It is only by trusting in Jesus as the Savior of your life. It is by believing that Jesus died for your sins in your place, the death that you should have died, and that he rose again to give you new life. It's only by trusting in Jesus that sinners, who the Bible calls as enemies of God, are reconciled to God. It's only by trusting in Jesus and his finished work that we can have peace with God. We can be made right with God. Look at what Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 says. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, it's not by works that we are justified before God. We are justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, friends, the first step to walk with God is to have peace with God, to have a relationship with him. There is no other way that you can come into a relationship with God but by believing in Jesus as the only Savior and Lord of your life. So, friend, may I ask you this morning, do you have a relationship with God? Have you put your trust in Jesus and Jesus alone? If not, will you trust in him today? That is the only way to start walking with God. Now, sometimes some people think walking with God is reserved for some super spiritual people, some super saints. There are no super saints in the Bible. Anyone can walk with God, no matter who you are this morning and what you have done with your life and how far you feel you are away from God. My friend, you can walk with God today if you trust in Jesus Christ. That's the only way. And it's that simple, to trust in Jesus. So number one is that to walk with God is to be in a relationship with God. Walking with God presupposes a relationship. And we can only have a relationship by trusting in Jesus Christ. Number two, to walk with God is to live in communion with him. To walk with God is to be in fellowship and to live in a growing communion with God. To walk with God is to grow in our intimacy with God. Now, you know, you don't say you're walking with someone when you're walking on one side of the road and the other person is on the other side of the road and you tell everybody, you know, I was walking with my wife and your wife is on the other side. You're not walking with your wife. You weren't walking. Walking with someone assumes closeness, proximity. There must be intimacy. There are times you need to hold hands and walk. And in the course of your walk, you talk to one another. We do most of our talking, my wife and I, in our walks. And, you know, we share, I share, she shares. We listen to one another. And in many ways, that is what it means to walk with God. It is to live close to God. It is to live in His presence. It is to enjoy His presence and commune with Him. And how do we commune with God? When we open the Bible and read, God speaks to us. And you might be sitting here and like, okay, I know that already. But as Spurgeon said, what we need to, you know, is not new things. We need reminders because we keep forgetting. How do we commune with God? When we open the Word of God every single day, God begins to speak to us. And when we pray, we speak to God. And this is the crux of our communion with God. This is how we grow in our walk with God. If you don't spend time in His Word, if you have no time for prayer in your life, if there is no prayer life for you, my friends, the truth is you're not truly walking with God. You can assume that you are walking with God, but you're not truly walking with Him until you are communing with Him. So may I ask you, how is your walk with God this morning? In other words, how is your communion with Him? Are you spending time in His Word every single day? Do you have time to be alone with Him in prayer? Sadly, for a lot of Christians, they talk about their communion with God in past tense. You know, I used to spend time in His Word. I used to wake up early before anything else and spend an hour with the Lord in prayer. But the question is, what about now? What about today? Chapter 5, verse 22 says, Enoch walked with God for 300 years. Not one day, not for the first week after he made his commitment to the Lord, but for 300 years, not just this, his initial days of conversion. Maybe it's a good thing to just remind ourselves how we used to walk with the Lord when we first began with our journey with the Lord. Enoch didn't do that just for a period of time. For 300 years, the Bible says he walked with God. And many times, most believers give two excuses of why they don't get to spend time with God. The first, any guesses? Busyness, right? I don't have time. The second one, you know, we blame the people and world around us. Oh, there's so much wickedness around me. You know, I can't, you know, really walk with God. People say, I'm too busy in life. I don't have time. You know, I have my school, my job, my responsibilities. You don't have an idea what my schedule looks like. But brothers and sisters, Enoch was not a monk that cut himself from everything, and he did not sit in a cave somewhere cut off from all the day-to-day affairs of life and walk with God. In verse 22, it says, Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Enoch was a family man. He had other sons and daughters. He took care of them. He probably had, you know, a job. He probably had responsibilities. In the midst of all that, he still consistently walked with God. Every time we feel like our life is getting too busy and we are not able to make time for God, maybe we should remind ourselves of the example of Enoch. Or someone like Susanna Wesley. Did you read her story? You know, she was the mother of John and Charles Wesley. She was a wife of a very busy pastor. She had 19 children. Unfortunately, 9 of them died. So she had 10 kids to take care of. But she would somehow manage to spend 2 hours with God every single day. Every single day. Or maybe we need to think about what Martin Luther said. You know, what he would do is the busier his day was, the earlier he would wake up to spend time with God. He felt like, you know, his work must be directly proportional to the time that he spends with God, because he knew his source of strength came from God. Now, people also give an excuse of wickedness. There's too much of wickedness around me. There's too many temptations around me. You know, and they kind of stop me or hinder me from walking with God or spending time with God. Once again, Enoch's example challenges such excuses. If you notice, Enoch did not walk with God in a perfect world. He did not walk with God in the Garden of Eden. He walked with God in a world where wickedness was all around him. In chapter 4, towards the end of chapter 4, we see that sin was increasing. In chapter 6 is where, you know, God begins to see. This is what it says in chapter 6 and verse 5, that the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil. Now, Enoch walked with God in the midst of this wickedness. When wickedness was ever increasing all around him, that's where Enoch walked with God. This busy family man in a wicked world walked with God. And so, my brother, sister, what is your excuse before God this morning? Now, it is easy to spend quality time with God when you are on a summer break, when life is not so busy. But what about this coming week? When school starts, when your work gets busier, when you have to juggle between multiple things, will you continue to spend time with God? Will you find time to be in His Word and to pray? Maybe we should make a strong commitment before God today and ask Him to help us walk with Him consistently. One of the meanings of the word or the name Enoch is actually dedicated. The word Enoch means dedicated. And he lived his life dedicated to God. And perhaps we need to dedicate our life this morning once more before God and say, God, I want to be devoted to you, O God. I want to walk with you, not just when I feel like, not just, you know, once in a while, God. I want to walk with you like Enoch all the days of my life. Do you do that this morning? That's number two. To walk with God is to live in communion with God. And finally, to walk with God is to walk in obedience to Him. To walk with God is to walk in agreement or obedience to God. Amos chapter 3 and verse 3 says, can two walk together unless they are agreed? In other words, can two who disagree walk together? They cannot. If I have to walk with someone, once again, I cannot walk in one direction and the person goes in the opposite direction. We're not walking together in that case. If we have to walk with someone, we need to be walking in the same direction. We need to be in agreement. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9, we see that even Noah walked with God. And do you know what the standout feature of Noah's life was? If you read chapters 6, 7, and 8, you'll consistently find this phrase that Noah did everything that the Lord commanded. It was obedience. In other words, the writer, when he was saying Noah walked with God, he's saying Noah walked in obedience to God. Brothers and sisters, you cannot claim to walk with God when you are, in fact, walking in the opposite direction. Like Jonah did, God said, go in one direction. He goes the opposite direction. You cannot say you are walking with God when you are doing your own thing and are not in agreement with God. We are only fooling ourselves when we think our walk with God is going great, when we are living in absolute disobedience to God. Now, with this in mind, we need to examine ourselves this morning. When the Word of God comes to us, we must examine. And we must ask ourselves this question: am I truly walking with God? Am I growing in my obedience to His Word? And as you examine if the Holy Spirit is convicting you, brother, sister, we need to humble ourselves. We need to repent of our disobedience to Him and seek His forgiveness and commit to live a life of obedience with the help of His Spirit. Now, as I conclude, I'd like to read verse 24 as well. It says, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. After he walked with God for 300 years, one day God just took him so that he can be with Him forever. He had this unique experience of not tasting physical death. He was taken to be with God in heaven. Now, this is what will happen to everyone who walks with God here on earth. To everyone who has a relationship with God by trusting in Jesus. To everyone who knows what it means to live in communion with God. To everyone who displays the fruit of obedience in their lives. When we are finally taken away from this earth, either through physical death or when Christ returns, we will not experience the second death. We will not experience this eternal separation from God, but we will instead live with God forever. And brothers and sisters, this is the great hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And we need to rejoice in it. We should not just rejoice in it, but live every single day with that hope in mind. But on the other hand, if you're someone who has never been in a relationship with God by trusting in Jesus, and you don't know what it means to walk with God, there's coming a time, my friend, when you will be eternally separated from God. And so I want to plead with you, friend, if you can repent of your sins this morning and trust in Jesus today, He'll not only forgive you, you'll not only enjoy His presence here on earth, you not only have a relationship with Him here on earth that is so satisfying, but when you one day leave this earth, you'll also live with Him forever. So will you think about it? Will you trust in Jesus this morning? Let us pray. Let's just quieten our hearts and let us examine ourselves in the light of His Word. And let's respond to God humbly and appropriately. And let us give Him the glory. Lord, we want to thank You for the example of Enoch. Like Enoch, we too can walk with You because You have made that possible, Jesus, for dying for us, for bringing us, helping us make peace with God, reconciling us to God. We are so grateful to You because Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says that while we were still sinners, You died for us. While we were still Your enemies, You died for us to reconcile. And so we want to thank You for this privilege of knowing You, to walk with You, to have a relationship with You. God, help us not to take it for granted. But help us, Lord, to pursue You. Help us to live in constant communion with You every single day of our lives. Help us to prioritize our time with You. And we want to thank You, God, that You, by Your Spirit, can help us also to walk in obedience to You. In the midst of this, Lord, sinful world, You call us to pursue holiness, to pursue obedience. So we pray that You'll help us, oh God, to live like that. We also want to thank You that one day we too will be taken away from this sinful world and that we can be with You forever. We thank You, God, for this great hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Lord, if there is anyone here who still does not know You, that You'll continue to minister to them, that You will convict them by Your Spirit until they come to a point of surrender before You. Thank You, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.